flat out trust them. And thank you so much, Brother Jimmy, for being here. I will have to admit that when that stool turned over a moment ago, I was hoping you'd try to sit down on it for what you did to me. But I mean, I was hoping in love. Hey, let me get you to do something. Stand up just for a second. You've been seated for a long time. Stand up just for a second. Just kind of stretch a minute and maybe shake hands with somebody, one or two around you there, and tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord. Thank you. You can be seated. I just wanted you to kind of stretch for just a moment. We're delighted and blessed to have Brother David Smith. And I just want to just, on a personal side for a minute. Would never want to take advantage of anybody going through a difficult time. But I just want to say that a gentleman came with Brother David this year, Brother Mike O'Dell. He's his senior adult pastor over there. And his wife went to be with the Lord, I think, even less than 2 weeks ago. He's here supporting his pastor. He's here praying for us. And I want to tell you, to me, that's an encouragement, Brother Mike. Thank you. Thank you for the evidence of faithfulness. Thank you for loving God greater than you hurt. And I appreciate that. As a pastor, I mean it. I appreciate it. Let me ask you to bow your heads just for a second. Brother David will be here in just a second. We've enjoyed the music all week of the Diplomats. You can't listen to them long and not enjoy it, that's for sure. I want you to do me a favor. After the music is over, don't consider the service having ended. Let's focus now on the Word of God. The music has been to prepare us to hear what we're about to hear. This man has studied, he's prepared, he is ready. My prayer is that we are too. Father, we bow our heads before you now. Lord, I just want to say I love you. I really do. I thank you for what you've done for us, for loving us. Thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you that through the trials and the struggles, and there are many, it seems like every time you talk with somebody, they're stretched as thin as they can get. And the enemy is continually just assaulting them in wave after wave. But we find strength not in ourselves, but in knowing that greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world mounting that assault. I pray for Brother David as it comes. I thank you that he has taking time from his home, his family, his church, the needs of his church. And he's come down here simply because I asked him to come and share God's word with us. Father, I pray you'd bless that obedience. Bless that faithfulness. I pray you would give us a spirit to hear. Father, for the one that is in this building that needs you the most tonight, I pray you would draw them. And for the one that thinks they need you the least, I pray you'd touch them. Do something in this place, in the hearts of your people, that'll go deeper than emotions, and it'll reach to the core of who we are, change us, help us to leave here different people than we came in. In the strong and the unchanging name of our Savior, I ask you, and indeed I beg you, send revival. Revive each of us. We don't want to see a revival. We want to be revived. Touch our hearts. Let that happen in this place with your people. Thank you for those that are here tonight. I just wanted to talk to you a minute, Lord, before our evangelist came. Bless him. Use him. In the strong name of our Savior, we pray. Amen. Brother David Smith.
Take your copy of the Word of God to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Calvary Baptist Church, for the privilege of being back in this meeting tonight. I appreciate all the prayers, all the cards that we've received, and thank you very much. Very much. Brother Mike's wife, Sister Brenda, went home to be with the Lord on Sunday morning, 2 weeks ago this past Sunday. Sunday night, he was in our service, shouting the victory. Monday night, we were in revival. He's in our service, shouting the victory. You say, how do you do that, preacher? God.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Grace.
Yeah.
It makes the difference. And I'm glad that God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. As they sang tonight, the diplomats, what a blessing. The choir, what a blessing. I thought about the elderly couple. They weren't Abraham and Sarah age, but they were well up in years and had always wanted a child, and God finally blessed them with a child. And when that child was born, they decided that they would name him WOW. W-O-W. Well, when WOW grew up, he didn't like his name at all. So he told his wife, he said, when I die, please don't put that on my tombstone. Wow. Said, just put the date of my death and the date of my birth, and then whatever else you want to put on there. She said, I promise you I won't put that on there. I won't put your name's Wow on there. I'll do what you asked. So Wow died. His wife did what she said she's going to do. She put the date of his birth, the date of his death, and then this inscription. For 52 years, he was a loving husband. He opened the door of the car every time we rode off together. When we went into places, he'd open the door. He washed the dishes. He done the laundry. He kept the yard mowed and the house up. He was a loving husband. Everybody that would go through the graveyard would stop there and they would read that tombstone and that inscription, and the first thing they'd say was, wow. Wow. I want to say, wow, what's singing tonight?
Amen.
And then when I come to this text in the Word of God tonight, I want to say, well, again,
yes,
because of what great truth this is. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Here's what Paul said. Let this mind be in you. Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, when you find that word in the Bible, you pay special attention to it. Wherefore, for this reason, for this reason. What reason, Brother Dave? What Paul just said about him in verses 5 through 8. For this reason, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want to preach tonight on this thought for just a few moments. He is exalted. He is exalted. On February the 22nd, just a few weeks ago, Senator Bill Cassidy was hosting a town hall meeting in the East Jefferson Parish Library in Metairie, Louisiana, when Chaplain Michael Sprague stood to give the invocation at that meeting. Protesters began to shout. They shouted things like, "Pray on your own time," "Separation in church and state." One woman began to chant the word, "Lucifer, Lucifer, Lucifer," when Chaplain Sprague said God's name. As he prayed, the yelling did kindly quieten down a little bit. But when Chaplain Sprague said this, "We pray in Jesus' name," the protesters began to shout again. When Senator Cassidy finally took the podium after the prayer, he said, "Thank you, Mike, for doing that." And he said, "Wow, wow, they booed the name of Jesus." Can I tell you something? On February the 22nd, 2017, in a town hall meeting in Metairie, Louisiana, they may have booed the name of Jesus, but I promise you tonight, according to the word of God, there is coming a day that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. They may boo him now, but one day they will bow before him. They will bow before him. You say, "Preacher, why are you saying that?" I'm saying that because he is exalted. The Bible said tonight in our text that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. That word "every" means this: without exception. Without exception. All that was, all that is, all that will be, will one day bow and confess, either by choice or by force. They'll either shout it now willingly, or they will shout it on that day when they bow before Him. You say, Brother Dave, what are you talking about? I'm telling you tonight, He is exalted. Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess. That word confess is interesting. It means to say the same thing. Every tongue, every language that's ever been spoken is going to be saying the same thing on that day. You say, what are they going to be saying, preacher? They're going to be saying that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is Jesus tonight. He is Christ tonight. He is Lord. You see, as Jesus, He is Yeshua, which simply means God, or Jehovah is our salvation. As Christ, He is the Christos of God. He is the anointed one. He is the one that has been sent from heaven with the anointing upon Him. As the Lord, He is ruler. He is reigning. He is risen. He is on the throne tonight. He is far above all principalities and powers. You say, preacher, what are you telling me? I'm telling you, He is exalted. Amen. He is exalted. He is exalted. There's two or three things in this text I want us to see for just a moment or two. Number one, I want to see, first of all, the position of His exaltedness in verse number 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him. That word, highly exalted, is a very powerful word that means this: to raise to the highest possible position and rank. To be exalted to the highest possible power, to raise to supreme majesty. Can I put it in language that you can get a hold of tonight? There is no one, there is nothing that is exalted higher than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is exalted higher than everything and anybody, and God has highly exalted Him. He is exalted. See, Brother Dave, when was He exalted? Well, that word exalted is in the aorist tense. That means it refers back to a definite act in the past. You say, when was He exalted? Preacher, I'll tell you when He was exalted. He was exalted when God the Father raised Him from the dead. And His resurrection. And then when the Lord took Him back home to glory at His ascension. He is the risen, the ruling, reigning, exalted Lord of glory. And by the way, He is not lying in a cemetery. He's living in a city. He's not rotting in a tomb. He's reigning on a throne. He did not expire. He is exalted. The Bible said that God the Father has highly exalted Him. Amen. Exalted Him. There's a second thing. There is the preeminence of his exaltation. Not only has God highly exalted him, but the Bible said he has given him a name which is above every name. Now get that truth tonight. When we think of a name, we think of it as a distinguishing mark or a label that's used to differentiate people from other people. But in the Bible, especially the New Testament, a name summed up all that a person was. And when the Bible says that God has given him a name that is above every name, that name is a picture of all that Jesus Christ was in his person. Now you say, Brother Dave, what are you trying to say to me? Here's what I'm trying to say to you tonight. The total person of the Lord Jesus Christ supersedes every title that has ever been given to anybody else. There's nobody like him. There's nobody equal to him. He is the total package. Hallelujah. Amen. And God has exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Now when I think about that, I think about the totality of his person and all that the person of Jesus involves. Thank God tonight, if you're here and you're in darkness, he's the light. If you're at a dead end, he's the door. If you're hungry, he's the bread of life. If you're thirsty, he's the living water. If you're trembling, he's the rock of ages. If you're in the valley, he's the good shepherd. I'm telling you, when you look at the totality of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the total package, amen. He has given a name that's above every name, amen. Every name. By the way, as you read the Word of God, in every book of this Bible, you'll find him. You'll find him. In Genesis, he is the creator. In Exodus, he is the deliverer. In Leviticus, he is the great high priest. In Numbers, he is the cloud by day and the fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet of God. In Joshua, he's the captain of my salvation. Amen. I'm going to preach a little while tonight. But let me say this. It's a shame tonight when we take a text and preach about the Lord Jesus being exalted. It don't do a lot for us. It ought to stir us out of these pews tonight. It ought to put us on our feet. To know that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that God the Father has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he is exalted. Amen. Amen. And Joshua, he is the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he is the lawgiver. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. in Samuel, Chronicles, and Kings. He is the God who reigns as king in Ezra. He's the promise keeper in Nehemiah. He's the rebuilder of the wall in Esther. He's the providence of God in Job. He is our ever living redeemer. Amen. Psalms, he's our shepherd and song. Proverbs, he's our wisdom. Ecclesiastes, our hope. In the Song of Solomon, the lover of our soul. In Isaiah, he's wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah and Lamentations, he's the potter. In Ezekiel, he's the watchman. In Daniel, the fourth man in the fire. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm telling you, he is exalted. He's exalted. In Hosea, he's the forgiver. In Joel, he's the one that pours his spirit out on all flesh. Amos, he's the burden bearer. Obadiah, the Savior. Jonah, the merciful God, full of grace. And Micah, he's the ruler that comes out of Bethlehem. And Nahum, he's the avenger. And Habakkuk, he's the one that justifies by faith. Zephaniah, he's the God mighty to save. Haggai, he's the stronghold in the day of trouble. And Zechariah, he's the one whose feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. And Malachi, he is the Son of Righteousness who shall rise with healing in his wings. Yeah. He's exalted. In Matthew, he's king. In Mark, he's wonder worker. Luke, the Son of Man. John, the Son of God. I mean, he's exalted on every page. In every book of this Bible. Next, he's our ascended Lord. In Romans, he's salvation. Corinthians, the Lord of glory. Ephesians, the chief cornerstone. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Philippians, the one that meets our needs. Yeah. He's exalted. Yeah. In Colossians, he's the hope of glory. Thessalonians, our soon coming king. Yeah. Timothy, the mediator between God and men. Titus, our great God. Philemon, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Hebrews, our great high priest that shed his blood for us. In James, he's the great physician. Peter, the chief shepherd. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he's righteousness, truth, and love. Jude, he's the Lord that cometh with 10,000 of his saints. In Revelation, he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is in exalted, amen. He's exalted. Yeah. Now here's what I want to get to. Those first 2 points just warmed us up. And here's what I want us to see. The premise of his exaltation. In verse number 9, Paul said, wherefore? For this reason, for this cause, God's highly exalted him. If you go back to verse number 5 through verse number 8, Paul talks about two things. He talks about his incarnation, and he talks about his crucifixion, his death on the cross. And he prefaces those things with these statements. He made himself of no reputation. That literally means that when Jesus come to this earth through the vehicle of a virgin's womb, that he emptied himself. Now let me make this clear. He did not cease to become God. He was as much God as he ever was. But Jesus did not assert his godness while he was on this earth. He veiled his deity. He didn't discard it. He veiled. He made himself of no reputation. That was God that come in that stable, in that place there in Bethlehem. That was God incarnate in the flesh that took upon himself the form of a servant, that was found in the likeness of men, found in fashion as a man. That was God that humbled himself. That was God that became obedient, even to the death on the cross. In verse number 8, there is three words that speaks volumes. He humbled himself willingly, voluntarily. He humbled himself. I wish we could get that. I wish the weight of that would fall upon our thinking tonight. That Jesus willingly, voluntarily humbled himself. What does that word mean, preacher? It means to bow down, to make low, to bring down oneself. This is God incarnate. But he is voluntarily humbling himself. Let me help you understand this. Isaiah 52 said that in the process of the crucifixion, that they beat the Son of God so that his visage, his facial expression, was so marred that you could not even tell he was a man. And as they beat him beyond recognition, he never tried one time to assert himself as God. He humbled himself. When they plucked the beard from his face, he never one time exerted himself as God. He humbled himself. And don't think for a moment he couldn't handle them.
Amen.
Amen. He could have handled them all, but he did not. He humbled himself. When they pierced his precious brow with the crown of thorns, he never asserted himself as God. He humbled himself. When they lashed his back with a cat of nine tails and pulled the flesh and muscle from his body, he never asserted himself as God. He humbled himself. When they spit on him and mocked him, he never one time exerted himself as God, but he humbled himself. I'm going to tell you, you do a lot of things to me, but if you ever try to spit on me, I'm going to punch you out in Jesus' name. Amen. That's just one thing I don't think I can handle. Amen. Somebody is walking up and spitting on me. But they did the Son of God. But he never exerted himself as God. He humbled himself. Are you listening? You say, preacher, why in the world? Why in the world did not Jesus assert himself as God. I'll tell you why. You're the reason why. I'm the reason why. And everybody in the world's the reason why. Because Jesus came to die on the cross as the Savior of the world. And the path of Calvary was the path that must be trod in order for a holy God to be satisfied with the sin offering of His Son. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That he did not assert himself as God, but he humbled himself. He humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to death. They didn't take his life from him. He gave it. If he had not at the cross bowed his head and cried, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost and said, "Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit," it never died. It never died. I want to tell you, at the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ willed his own death. When he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, he became obedient unto death. Because God don't die. Amen. God don't die. Therefore he became obedient to death. And Paul said, even the death of the cross. Paul reminds the Philippians and us that it wasn't just a ordinary death he died. But he died the most horrendous and horrific death that there was in that day. Death by crucifixion. So horrendous and horrific that the Jews said, "Curse it, is anyone that dies that way." The Romans would not allow their own citizens to be crucified. It was reserved for the lowest of the low. Are you listening? Why? Because of its horrendousness. How horrific it was to die a death by crucifixion. You say, "Brother Dave, why?" Why? I'll tell you again why. So that you and I that should have got hell, so that you and I that were wretched and defiled and depraved and doomed and damned, that should have went to hell, that should be in hell tonight, so that you and I who were on our way to hell could be saved. He humbled himself so you could be saved. He became obedient to death so you could be saved. He died the death of the cross so you can be saved. And God the Father said, "I'll let you know what I think about what my Son does. I'll just raise him from the dead, bring him to heaven, and I'll exalt him." He exalted. Amen. Yeah. Above all, he is exalted. Then I'll give him a name that's above every name. And one day, everybody will bow before him and confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I want to tell you something. I'm thankful that I've bowed this side of judgment. Amen. I'm thankful that I'm already bowed. Acknowledge the fact in my heart that He is Lord. He's risen. He's ruling. And He's reigning. But you may be here tonight and you say, Brother Dave, I've never been saved. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. And I tell you tonight, He humbled Himself for you. He became obedient to death for you. He died the death of the cross for you. And it would behoove you tonight to allow the Holy Spirit to bring that to your attention tonight. And bring you to this altar in repentance and faith and bow this side of the judgment. Here's the fact. You'll either bow now or you'll bow then. Because every knee is going to bow. Can I tell you, Osama bin Laden's going to bow. Barack Obama's going to bow. Amen. No exception. No exceptions. Every knee is going to bow. So it would behoove you to do it now. In this moment of grace. In this space of grace. That's what this is tonight. You may have thought you just fell off in here. That's Sand Mountain language. I may have to interpret that. I'm not talking in tongues. I'm just talking Sand Mountain language. Amen. You might have thought you just fell off in here tonight for just to come by and be in the meeting. But God had an appointment with you. He gave you just a space of grace for you to see the fact tonight that you're lost without God and you need help and you need hope. And your help and hope is found in Him. Because He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, you can be saved tonight. You're not excluded. You can come to Jesus. He is. Not the Baptist. Not the preacher. Not the convention. Not the denomination. Amen. He is. He is. Exalted. Amen. Let's pray. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Father, I preached what You give me. So I trust the Holy Ghost would move among this congregation. If there's one here lost tonight, Lord, never put their faith and trust in Your Son. Dear God, convict them. Help them to come tonight and be saved. Maybe there's a Christian here tonight. Maybe they're struggling with some things in their life. May they see You high and lifted up. May they see You risen, reigning and ruling. And may they come, Lord, and allow You, Lord, to help them in this hour. Thank You. Thank You. Dear Jesus, You are exalted because of what You did for us through the cross and through Your incarnation. Bless tonight in this invitation time. We give You the glory and the praise for what You're going to do right now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're tonight and you're lost,